Hello, and welcome to another Golf Pilgrim podcast. It's Ian Woods in London.
And it's Neil White in Nottingham.
And that's a very appropriate location for today's episode, because you're playing Hollinwell in Nottinghamshire. Now, that's not a course that I'm familiar with, even though I lived in Nottingham for many years. It was before my golfing days. So you are going to be doing most of the talking, and I'll prompt you occasionally with curious questions. But tell me, why are we in Hollinwell, other than the fact that it's just up the road from you?
Well, it features very heavily in the top 100 lists. It's number 47 in GB and Ireland and number 19 in England. And it claims to be the top course in the Midlands, although I suspect Wood or Spa might have something to say about that.
So set the scene for us and tell us how many times you played there, for example. So you must know it pretty well, I think, yeah?
Yeah, I played there several times. First time was a long time ago. I played on a Nottingham Forest Football Club golf day. I was behind the then owner, Nigel Doughty, and I played several times in different conditions. This time it was a little bit wet underfoot because, of course, of all the rain that we've been having in these parts. But in the past, I played in very heavy rain. I played in really nice weather, and I can tell you the course is just superb regardless.
So we always talk about what's it like when you first get there and the welcome and your first impressions. What's it like to arrive at Hollinwell?
Well, Hollinwell, it's next to Sherwood Forest and Coxmoor. There's three great golf courses in a very, very short, expansive area near Mansfield. And you come off the main road and it's a wonderful long drive through a forest, typical of the area. This is Sherwood Forest area. It's where Robin Hood and Maid Marian lived, and we'll hear a little bit more about that later on. And you drive through. Ken Brown, the BBC commentator, says what a remarkable drive it is, because then suddenly from the trees you emerge onto this wonderful area where you can see several of the holes and a practice area and a wonderful old clubhouse. And yeah, it just is a remarkable little oasis in an area that you wouldn't necessarily expect it. This is an old mining area when all said and done.
Let's talk our bread and butter questions. How much does it cost to play?
Well, if you're a visitor, then you're talking in the shoulder season, April, when we played, it would be normally £135 a round and £175 for the day. Fortunately, we're going to make our listeners a little bit envious again. I was playing with a member. So Mrs. W and I played for £30 each. In fact, I think it was reduced a bit, like when we played at Sunningdale recently, because the course wasn't quite in the condition that they might have been expecting because of the wet weather.
Practice facilities, anything that was going to sort of set your pulse racing in terms of getting your game in good order?
Yeah, I think it's great. Being very, very close to the clubhouse and very close to the first tee is an excellent driving range. A really good chipping area. And this time I spent a bit of time on it, which was great. Bunkers there as well with a putting green. And so I did have half an hour to work on my short game. And I was really pleased I did, actually, because unlike in recent times, my short game was pretty decent at Hollinwell. We'll go on to it soon, but I didn't have a bad round.
So what holes do you want to pick out from the opening holes? I mean, I'm sitting here looking at the Hollinwell website, so I can get an idea of what you're playing, and we'd encourage other people to do the same as well, because obviously sometimes the pictures tell a fantastic story to go with our words. But give us an indication of what the opening holes are like.
Well, before I go into that, let me just answer your first question about the welcome. You know, because when you go to the pro shop at Hollinwell, they really do. The chap there, the pro, he always has a really jovial conversation, makes you feel welcome, tells you to enjoy your day. And his colleague came out, I think it was club secretary even, and he's spoken to me before as well, and is really encouraging of you know, have a great day at Hollinwell, and you feel. I felt special there. And the same is true of the members. We were lucky enough, as I said, to play with long-standing members who were only too pleased to welcome us. And so you stand on the first tee, and I think the first hole should give you a chance, but I can see that it was intimidating. So when I did play in that Nottingham Forest golf day years ago, the owner in front of us topped the ball, and I can see why. But if you top it, you go straight into heather. There's a lot of heather at Hollinwell. And I think that most people will think of Heathland golf courses in England as being in the Surrey Sandbelt, but as Hollinwell, Sherwood Forest and Coxmoor all have this incredible purple stuff, and when it gets deep in the summer, it's dangerous territory. The first hole is over heather, the first tee, first drive, and then you've got a bunker on the right-hand side, more trouble down the left. If you avoid both, it's certainly hittable. The challenge really begins on the second hole, which is a beautiful par four. And it bends around. It's a long par four. You've got to hit it down the right-hand side. If you hit it down the left, then you're going to be cut off from getting to the green, which is defended by a hillock on the left-hand side with bunkers. And it stands below what is known as Robin Hood's Seat.
And why is it called Robin Hood's Seat?
Robin Hood used to sit there, apparently.
Of course. If you've
lived in Nottinghamshire for any length of time, you know that there are so many myths and legends about Robin Hood, and particularly in this area.
And most of them are completely untrue. I know. I lived in Nottingham for many years. I even presented the local news programme in Nottingham, and we were always doing stories linked to Robin Hood, even though the people from the nearby television area of Look North always used to claim that Robin Hood was from Sheffield or somewhere up in Yorkshire.
Doncaster. Well, I mean, Edwinstowe, which is not a million miles from Hollinwell, is supposedly where Robin Hood and Maid Marian got married, for example, and if you go to the Sherwood Forest Visitor Centre nearby, then you can see where apparently Little John and Robin Hood fought over a small stream and so on and so on. And you can even fire a bow and arrow if you really want to. But anyway, Robin Hood was not looking down as I tried to get a par on the second hole. But I got a five. And I think, to be fair, if you get a five on the second hole, you're probably happy to walk away with that. It's a really tough hole. And there are many tough holes at Hollinwell, no doubt about it. If you can avoid getting a blob, which is really what I set out to do. I haven't played a lot of golf lately because of the wet weather. I set out to just keep the scorecard ticking over. And that is what pretty much I managed to do. And then we'll talk about it in a bit, gain the rewards on that back nine.
I just wanted to say that I told you I was looking at the Hollinwell website, and there's something interesting on there, and I don't think I've seen this on any other golf course website before. There's always a guide, isn't there, to how you play various holes, you know, and sometimes it's the bleeding obvious, you know, avoid the bunkers, you know, don't go out of bounds, that kind of thing. But they have got not just a guide to it, but they've got a low handicap strategy and a high handicap strategy. So if you want to lay up, it tells you where you should be laying up. And I think that's a really useful thing for somebody like me, who's a higher handicapper than you are, to be able to have in their mind. Not that I'm necessarily going to read it before every single hole that I play, but it's quite a useful thing, I think.
Well, I've not seen it before, and I have read that as well. And actually, I think that it's really wise, because it is so tempting sometimes to try and go for par. And for example, that second hole at Hollinwell, you could wind up and try and get a three wood and try and hit the green. And frankly, you're going to get into all sorts of bother if you do. Whereas I think going short, knocking it on, walking away with a five, maybe getting a four if you've got near enough to the flag is probably the best policy.
Yeah, it all looks rather splendid on the flyover. There's it's a great website, actually, if you want to take a look at it, because not only are there photographs and a whole flyover, drones are used extensively now in golf clubs, I know, but this one looks particularly good, and the pictures are showing the purple heather in full bloom. Was it in full bloom when you were there? Not quite.
No, not yet. And actually, you got away with it a little bit in the rough. This is not a bad time to play Heathland golf if you want to avoid the really thick stuff. And so it was pretty generous, the rough. If any of us, I didn't get into that much trouble, actually. But what I would say again, and this is advice I've given before, I made only one mistake of going into the rough and trying to be a little bit too clever. That was on the first hole, actually. I tried to hit a five iron out of it. And I just duffed it into a bunker. And that is not what you want to be doing at Hollinwell. If you go anywhere off the fairway, my suggestion is don't be greedy, take your medicine, and you can still score. It's a longer course than Sunningdale. It was interesting that we were talking to the chap we were playing with, and he reckoned that Hollinwell is the best inland course in the country. He reckoned he even stood up against Sunningdale Old because it's 600 yards longer. I'm not sure that's a qualification for being a better course, because I like short par fours. There are a few of them, and we'll talk about them in a second at Hollinwell. I've also heard before that members at Hollinwell, they like to claim their course is the best, you know, that gets ratcheted up. It's better than Woodhall Spa. It's even better than Sunningdale. It has its place for sure, and that's why it's in the top 20 in England.
So talk to us about some of these short holes then. And we should say as well that even though when I asked you after you'd finished playing how you got on, were there any comedy moments, were there any champagne moments? And it sounded like a fairly uneventful round, but you have had champagne and comedy moments in the past, I assume. And we can also draw on those without necessarily referring to this particular round.
Well, one of the greatest comedy moments I've ever seen at a golf course was when I played with my mate in the pouring rain, and we were on the fifth hole at Hollinwell, and it was so windy and so raining that the rain was so heavy that his umbrella literally snapped in half, and then half the umbrella just flew off around the course. So we did laugh about that for a long time, and he got very wet thereafter because, of course, he didn't have an umbrella. I'll talk about as far as the champagne moments are concerned. Yesterday, it was more of a Prosecco moment, I guess, because I did really well in the last six holes, we'll come to that a bit. The eighth is the first of those short par fours that you asked about, and the eighth is memorable for many reasons, but it is also where you can drink the holy from the holy well. So this is where the monks from Newstead Abbey used to go and get their water. It's a spring next to the eighth tee, and there is a cup there that you can still drink from. If you dare to go down some quite slippery steps, you could end up that there would be an ultimate comedy moment would be if you fell straight into the water. I have drunk out of it, and I didn't fall in, but a lot of the people I played with have taken one look at it and thought certainly Mrs. W wouldn't go down there. I thought you've got to give it a go, haven't you? The eighth anyway is a cracking hole because there's that pond next to the well, and you have to hit over to a fairway that then drops down. They were using mats on those drop-down areas yesterday because it was so wet. But then you have to chip up to a green that bears from left to right. Now, you really have to hit in from the left because if you go down the right, then you're likely to slide down the side of the green. But it's a great hole, and it sets the tempo for a lovely set of holes. I think my favourites at Hollinwell are mid course. There are some absolute belters there. I mean, before we get onto the ninth, there's the halfway huts, and they do a very fine pastry-based product, which I always like. It was a splendid sausage roll, not quite to the standard of St. George's Hill or Woburn, but decent nevertheless. And then the ninth is a nice little par three going down the hill. And actually, I'd sort of struggled with my round all day. Just kept it going with 1 points and 2 points on the Stableford scores. But that was my first par of the day, believe it or not. And then I started to string it together, and there was a bit of an avalanche of pars in the second nine. The 11th, as you will hear from our contributor, David Tilcock, is his favourite hole on the course. And actually, let's hear a little bit from David and why he's proud to be a member of Hollinwell, and why he thinks it stands above the rest.
Hollinwell is a heathland course, and I think heathland courses are a particularly wonderful genre. Along with links, they are the best type of courses in the country. Hollinwell is a top 50 course in the British Isles. It is a wonderful course with probably 12 outstanding holes and 6 good holes. There are no bad holes on it. The course is maintained in exceptional condition year round. When so many courses have been closed during this terrible winter that we've had, Hollinwell's been open nearly all the time and been on greens for most of the winter. I was looking in the visitor book the other day, and I think every single comment praised the course, but equally praised the welcome from the staff. The catering staff will make you very welcome. You won't feel awkward when you come in. The pro shop is staffed by three exceptional pros. So if you come here as a visitor or a potential member, I can guarantee you a wonderful time.
What are your favourite holes on the course?
I think the 11th has always been my favourite. It's a very linksy hole. It runs along a gully with a very small green bunkering on the left. It's very, very tight. I can remember watching John Rahm playing the British boys and hit a 5-iron off the tee. The hole is renowned for Richie Ponting having driven the green, and the hole's uphill about 370 yards. I think the 13th is the signature hole, which is a 250 to 200 yard par three, which is down a big hill to a heavily bunkered green with heather all round. I defy anyone to stand on that tee and not be impressed. The 18th is Lee Westwood's best finishing hole in Britain, I think, which is a 450, 60 yard par four, which leads down to the clubhouse, which is a very, very difficult hole. And if you get a four there, you've done very, very well. Neil nearly holed a 70 yard putt today for his four, but unfortunately it pulled up 6 inches short. The clubhouse is a very sort of old, lovely looking building, and it just sits in a perfect position behind the 18th. And then you've got the third green immediately to the left. So I think one of the finest experiences you can have at Hollingwell is on a summer evening, sitting on the next to the clubhouse, looking at people coming down the 18th green and looking down the third green, and you can watch them tee off the first. So I've never played a course where you can see more from sitting by the clubhouse. I can certainly remember sitting by the 17th at St Andrews in the Open, where you can see the 17th green, the 18th tee, and the first and second holes across. But that's because you're in a stand. You can't really see that if you're level with the ground. Whereas Hollingwell, you can sit on a bench and just have a phenomenal view. There's just nothing quite like it.
Yeah, always good to hear from a member, someone who knows a course very well, knows all the hidden dangers, but also knows why they think that the course is so special to them, and important for visitors to hear that, I think, as well, rather than just reading it on a website. If you can actually hear from people who play the course regularly, it might give you a taste of making the journey to Nottinghamshire to play it. But carry on with your description of the back nine, where your game really caught fire.
Well, it hadn't caught fire on the 11th, but I did stand on the tee and said to David, wow, this is a great hole. And he said, I'm glad you said that, because anybody that doesn't like the 11th at Hollingwell, I always think they don't know anything about golf. So just as well, I did. The 11th is a remarkable hole because it has steep heather on the right-hand side. There's rubbish on the left as well. It sort of snakes around a hill and then up towards a green, which is on the side of a hill, really, and with bunker on the left-hand side. I think it's a really tricky hole. I did exactly what I said not to do earlier on and tried to go for it in two and made a mess of it, but I think it's a beautiful hole. And the 12th is another hole which courts controversy, apparently. Some people don't like it. It's a long par four across the top of the course, and it goes... It's a blind shot from the tee, going down the right, really, is where you want to go, and then nips into a basin of a green on the left-hand side, and I think that's a cracking hole. But
it says it's stroke index too, so it must be difficult. Just to say that you were mentioning hilly, is it a tough course to walk around, or is it easy enough?
There are plenty of hills. I mean, certainly Mrs. W said at the end she was lacking in energy a little bit because she was tired out by it. On a rainy day, it's hard work. Less so in the summer. But, yeah, there's plenty of hills at Hollingwell. But I think it's walkable. It's not – the great thing about it is its architecture means that each tee is next to the green of the previous hole. So, you know, there are no great walks between the holes, but there are significant hills. And one of those comes on the 13th, which – is one of the signature holes that David referred to earlier on. And if I were going to have a champagne moment, this is probably it. So the 13th is a downhill par 3. It's really intimidating, but gorgeous at the same time. You've got great views from there. And I hit a 3-wood. Some people will say, why didn't you hit an iron? Well, actually, all three of the players that played previous to me had duffed their shots into heather, and I wasn't going to have any part of that. You hit it into a green which has bunkers on left and right, and I needed a bit of accuracy. I found it with my 3-wood and hit middle of the green, and I missed my birdie 2, I guess, by about 3 inches. So, yeah, great hole, and it set the tone for the last few holes, which I fortunately played really well. I'll just refer to a couple of those. The 15th, I think, is a remarkable par 4, and I was really chuffed to get a par on this. It's a long par 4, which somehow the green is moulded within the hills on either side, and there's a lot of feeling of the course being very natural at Hollingwell. It doesn't feel carved out of anything man-made at all. And so this is a really weird one in the sense that the green seems almost detached from the fairway. But I managed a 4 on that, which was great. And then there's, you know, we pile in. That was 15th. And then we come on to 16, 17, 18. And 18, David was saying, Lee Westwood reckons it's his favourite home hole in golf.
Why is that then? I mean, what's so special about it? You're coming off the 17th. I notice is the only par 5 on the back nine, and it's stroke index 18, so it can't be very long. But that's always a good confidence booster if you get a shortish par 5 that you think you can do well on.
Yeah, and it's again a lovely hole. Loads of heather around. I messed it up in the past. I didn't mess it up on yesterday where I got a par and actually was put in for a birdie. It curves round from right to left, and it's a gorgeous looking hole, again framed by those wonderful Sherwood Forest trees behind it. It looks terrific. And then there's this hole, the 18th. So you're on high and you're looking down on a wonderful vista, fairway, there is heather right and left, bunkers there, and then in the far distance is the clubhouse, which just looks absolutely pristine, but it's a long way. And I thought I'd been on a run, I think, of 4 or 5 pars out of 6, and I thought, oh, can I finish with a 4? It's too far for me to hit in 2. I was just in front of the green with my 3rd shot, and I put a putt that, well, it landed 6 inches from the hole, and I thought it was going in. I really did. I thought this is going to be, I'm going to be ecstatic here, because there's a little bit of water at the side of the hole as well, which I've been in before. I'd certainly lost balls there. I've made a muck of the 18th various times, so I was pleased to finish it at least semi-decently. Yeah, terrific hole and a terrific course. I mean, I've just never heard of anyone playing Hollingwell and thinking anything other than, this is a fabulous place to play golf.
I will certainly make every effort to take the drive up to Nottinghamshire to play it. I do remember one of the first rounds you played there. You told me you played in the pouring rain, and it sounded like hell on earth. So I kind of dismissed it amongst my list of courses I wanted to play. But now that you've described it in decent weather as well, it does sound absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, well, it's brilliant, and I have to say that there is. Friendliness goes on into the clubhouse as well. So we had a lovely bit of lunch there with the people we're playing with. They and their friends were all nodding and saying hello. And the staff at the golf club were absolutely super. So food was great. And yeah, we just had the best day out. Fabulous.
All of this talk of Nottingham and Robin Hood is taking me back down memory lane to when I lived in the city. And actually, when you were talking about Robin's seat there, I remembered a sudden flashback to when I used to have to present the BBC Children in Need every year. And one year they asked me to dress as Robin Hood, and I refused. And the reason I ended up wearing sort of a, you know, bow tie and penguin outfit instead. But the reason being was that it was just the year after Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves came out with Kevin Costner playing Robin Hood with an American accent. And some enterprising businessman in Nottinghamshire had bought all of the film sets and was going to set up a sort of a theme park. I'm not sure how successful that was, but we were able to use these backdrops as our Children in Need set. And we got Tony Robinson, Baldrick in Blackadder, but also he wrote a Robin Hood style series, Maid Marian and Her Merry Men. So they created this a few sort of sketches, and they wanted me to play Robin Hood in it. But I didn't fancy it. I thought my credibility as a serious newsman would be affected if I was wearing green tights.
Well, do you know what? I'm going to ride in on that, because when we first moved to Nottingham, our son was just 7 years old, and he was actually disappointed because he thought everyone here wore Lincoln Green.
So you mean they don't anymore?
And now they don't. I'm not sure you get away with wearing a Robin Hood outfit in Hollingwell's rather posh clubhouse. But
Nowadays I do have Friar Tuck's hairstyle, and you're heading that way as well.
So anyway, what I would say is that if you fancy going to Hollingwell, I would heartily recommend it. I'm certainly not the first person to do so, but do try to get along. I think it's better value if you go in April. I notice it's £135 for round in the shoulder season, and the course is in great condition in shoulder season rather than paying the top rates in the summer. But it's certainly well worth a go. And I would recommend also, we'll be doing reviews of them, but Sherwood Forest is very close by, I said, as is Cocksmoor. And they are also top quality course in Nottinghamshire, which is the Midlands is an area that people don't think of in terms of high quality golf, I don't think. And yet we've now got JCB quite close by. Kedleston in Derby, I like, but there's also Woodall Spa, Seacroft in Lincolnshire. So there's quite a bit of stuff around the East Midlands that I think is worth visiting.
All right. Well, that's another edition of the Golf Pilgrim podcast for this week. We'll have another review for you very soon.
Yes, and please keep in touch with us, or get in touch with us through thegolfpilgrim.com. You'll see lots of photographs of Hollingwell there from when I did the review last year. But also, we'd like your opinions on the podcast, on my reviews, and also perhaps you've got suggestions for where we should go. So until the next time, see you on the next day.
Bye for now.